first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, so that they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Lord, we bless you for your word. We thank you for your good mercy and grace to us. We ask you now, dear Lord, that you might minister to us in this 2 o'clock evening service. And I pray, God, you'd quicken our hearts together by the power of the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, this evening, I pray, God, that you would seal these truths that we preached in these 10 messages on your mastering ministry in the Gospel of John. Lord, I pray that fruit would be brought forth from it in days to come. You get honor and glory to yourself. Lord, have thine own way now. I pray, God, you'd draw in the wonders of our minds and help us to set our affection and our focus upon you. We'll thank you for what you do by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're looking this evening in John chapter number 20, where Mary's name was called by the resurrected Lord in verse number 16. And the Bible says she turned unto him and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And I want to look this evening at Jesus mastering our darkness. Jesus mastering our darkness. Now, Mary was a resident of Magdala, which was on the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. In John chapter, or Luke chapter number 8, verse 1, 2, and 3, we find that her and some other women followed Jesus. Wherever he showed up preaching or ministering at, they would show up. And they were called the certain women. There were others that got saved. We find that Joanna, Chusa, the steward of Herod's wife, got saved. And she became part of that group. And then several Marys themselves ministered to the Lord of their substance. And anything they could do, they were right there because they loved the Lord Jesus. And Luke calls them the other women. And as they labored in following him, we find that Mary shows up again and again and again. We find that she was one of the women that were standing at the foot of the cross when all the disciples had forsook him and fled. Everybody else was gone. There she was, standing faithful at the foot of the cross. She followed Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus down to the tomb and beheld where the Lord was buried at in Matthew 27:61. And we find that she, along with Mary, the mother of James, came to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus on that resurrection morning, and saw the stone rolled away and the prison keepers, they were shaking in their boots, and she ran back to get Peter and John. Now, Mary Magdalene, they say, was a harlot. She had seven devils in her. Whether she was a harlot or not, we really don't know, but we do know she's a wicked woman because she had seven devils in her when the Lord saved her and redeemed her. And boy, she became very appreciative of Jesus and what he did for her. And when she comes down to the tomb that Sunday morning, she wanted to anoint. They wanted to give Jesus a proper burial, that they didn't have time to even attend his funeral because of the haste that he was taken down from the cross and then put out there in the borrowed tomb. But we find in this scripture that there's a lot of darkness in Mary's life. I want you to look in verse number 1 of chapter 20. It said, Mary Magdalene came early when it was yet dark. You see that? And the Bible tells us how that darkness had fallen upon that situation physically. But also there was much darkness that had fallen upon her spiritually. Though the Lord had died and though he had risen, she didn't know that. And as a result, darkness had settled in on her soul. And there's many different kinds of darknesses that can settle in on you. She had darkness in her soul because of the world's mistreating of Jesus. I mean, she had followed him around. All Jesus had done was good. All he did was help people. All he did was bless folk, minister to people, sacrifice his life, and give everything that he had. And yet the world cursed him. They despised him, and they lied on him and had him crucified. And you know, it'll bring darkness on you when you turn on the news, if you turn it on anymore. I don't watch these corrupt lying news networks, fake news as Trump calls them. I don't have any use for them whatsoever. They'll take something good and they'll sour it and twist it and turn it around just like an old gossiping woman on a party line. I'll tell you, they can't help but lie because their father's a liar and their children are their father, the devil. Amen. But the world mistreats Jesus. They misrepresent him. They're always coming out with another book, always coming out with another philosophy, another movie that has nothing to do with the Bible Jesus, but he presents that to the world to try to make a mockery and a sham out of him. And it'll bring darkness on you. But she had darkness because of the disciples. She's standing there at the foot of the cross. Jesus has been whipped and beaten. He's hanging and groaning on Golgotha. And she looks around. Where's Peter? He said, if all men forsake you, I'll not forsake you. Why, where are these other disciples at? Where's Thomas and Thaddeus? And where's Andrew and Nathaniel? Where are these other guys at? And there wasn't anybody there around him. And she's thinking, man, are we the only ones going to stand? Why didn't these others show up? And when people don't show up, when they're irresponsible, when they could be there and they're not there, I'll tell you, if you're not careful, it'll bring a darkness and a valley down on you. And you know, I got over that a long time ago. I used to get all hyped up if you had a big crowd, or all discouraged if you just had a little handful. But I read one day where the Lord's going to judge us according to faithfulness. And whether it be the few or whether it be the many, that's God's business. My business is to preach to all of them, regardless of whether I travel halfway around the world and preach to 20,000 people at a time or if I preach to 20 people. All of that's God's business, not my business. And when I learned that, when I understood that, man, that took the sting out of looking around and wondering where people were at and why they weren't faithful and why they weren't doing this, that, or the other. That's between them and God. What's between me and God, what I'm going to give an account for. What they do with God, that's their business. But boy, it'll bring a darkness on you. And do you know there's a lot of folk out of the house of God because they got their eyes on people?
Right.
Well, that deacon. Well, that teacher. Well, that person. Well, that preacher. You just get your eyes on people and you're going to sink. You better be looking far above my head. You better be looking to that cross back there. You better be looking to the Lord Jesus and keep your eyes on Him. Because if you even get your eyes on yourself, you'll sink. Amen. But then there was a worse darkness that was on her. She seemed to think that maybe the Lord had failed her. I mean, after all, is He not the King of Israel? Is He not the sovereign that can do anything? He can walk on the water. Man, she's seen Him cause that crowd to stay abased. They couldn't touch Him. They couldn't stone Him. They couldn't take Him. Could He not got by without going to the cross? But it was her ignorance. The Bible says several times in this scripture, in verse number 2, it said, "And we know not." And verse number 9, "And they knew not." In verse number 13, "I know not." Verse 14, "And she knew not." That ignorance of what God was doing brought a darkness upon her. And a lot of times our misunderstanding or our spiritual ignorance and lack of knowledge will bring a darkness upon us. And when we assume and begin to try to reason and bring it into a spirit of philosophy and all that, and it don't all match up, and there's missing pieces of the puzzle, if you're not careful, you'll start blaming God. And, well, God could have, but why didn't He? You know, why was my child sick? Why did my child die? Why did my husband, why was he taken? Why was my wife taken? Why did I lose my job? And that drunk got the job and got a promotion. And why? And God could have, but God didn't. And why didn't God do for me and He did for them? And you'll start assuming and judging and all of those things. And you know what will happen? It'll be dark. And it was yet dark when Mary came down to the tomb that morning. Now notice, first of all, darkness in relationship to the preachers or the apostles. While it was yet dark, she said, "I know where I can get this darkness cured. I'll run to the apostles." And she saw the stone taken away in verse number 1. But in verse 2 it said, "She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple," which was John, whom Jesus loved. And she said to these apostles, these preachers, "They've taken the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid Him." Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and the first came to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his face not lined with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Preachers, come examine this. Surely you got to answer, preacher. I'm in darkness. And they come running to the preacher. That's what a lot of folk do. When they get in darkness and a big dilemma, man, that telephone go to ringing. That door, you'll knock on that door. You'll find the preacher. "Oh, preacher, preacher, preacher. Surely you got to answer for the darkness that I'm going through." Now notice these preachers were eager to go. The Bible says that they ran. Now John's a young whippersnapper and Peter, he's an older man. And John outrun Peter. And he ran down there to the tomb. He beat him. And he's leaning down looking into the tomb. And old Simon Peter, he's got that chicken gut. He's not quite as fast, but boy, he had a head of steam built up. And when he got to the tomb, he just went right on by. Old John went right on in. And he's looking around. Yeah. These guys are eager to go. They're both running. Yeah. You know, I don't know many men of God that are not eager to help somebody if they can absolutely help them. I was with a good doctor this past weekend, had to take my wife and my mama to the hospital and all that, and this doctor came in on Saturday, and he made this call and all these things, you know, his day off and everything else, but yet his phone went off 2 or 3 times while I was there and on call all the time, and I thought, you know, not only doctors but preachers are on call all the time. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how many times I've had a preacher off somewhere taking him fishing or whatever, and a telephone ring, and he say, I got to go. Somebody this, that, and the other, the hospital to go. We had two preachers and their wives going to come up and visit us from down in Florida. They had a bait of seafood and all that they were going to bring. They had it all loaded up, ready to get in the car, and got the phone call. One of your friends died down here, got to do the funeral on Friday. Had to cancel all that and all their plans and everything. But they were glad to do it. It wasn't something that's a burden and a pain and a good night. I wish this wouldn't have. Eager to go. Thank God for preachers eager to go. Not only that, they were earnest in their gaze when they got there. Old John's checking it out, and old Peter busted right on in. He's really looking it out. And he examined it, and he said, now here's the napkin that was on his face. And it's laying over here folded in a certain place. And some people say that the Lord had a way of folding his napkin when he said, I'll be back, you know. And anyhow, there was a mark there, that napkin. And I said the reason the napkin's mentioned, because this is a juicy meal, and it's better than Kentucky Fried Chicken, finger licking good. And you're going to need a napkin to wipe the tears and wipe the honey juice that's going to roll off your mouth. Hallelujah. But boy, they went in there and checked it out, looked. I see old Peters. He walks over there and looks at that mummified. You see, they put all those spices around him, and it's like a mummy. And here this mummified figure is, and there's nobody in there. He looks in the hole, and there's no face in there. He reaches his hand under there, and it's holler. It's empty. What's going on? He walks over, and here's a napkin laying to the side. They're checking it all out. They saw the stone is blowed all to pieces. The prisoner, the soldiers were gone. Oh, man, you're right, Mary. Something has happened. But we don't know. We don't have an answer. John had a sneaky suspicion. It says that he believed, but he didn't let Mary know. He said, yeah, you got a problem, all right. You got a problem. That's right. You got a problem. And I've had folk come to me with their problems, and I didn't have an answer. And I tell you, you got to be careful getting your answers from the preacher. Back before I was married, I was praying about getting married. And I got in a car with a good evangelist friend of mine, and I went down the country and back, drove him down, and I told him where I was at and what I was into, and I asked him about getting married. He said, man, I'd get married just as fast as I could. Man, I wished I got married earlier and this, that, and the other. Boy, that's the way he answered me. Well, a week or so later, I got in the car with another evangelist, went in another direction, and the equal, a man of God used to the Lord, and I told him my dilemma, my situation, what I was praying about, and I said, now I'm thinking about getting married and all this, what should I do? He said, I wouldn't get married at all. Said, it's going to be a weight on you, and you're always going to be looking back at the house, and said, you know, being like Percy Ray and others, said, I don't think I'd get married. Now, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Huh? Two good men of God, one of them said, oh, fast you can. The other said, no, I wouldn't. So I went over to old Brother Ralph Sexton Sr.'s house, and I stayed with him all evening, just followed him around all day long. I told him my situation, asked him that question. He said he'd straighten that tie up, and he'd pull that hair back, move them glasses, and he'd say, now tell it to me again. And we'd walk around, do whatever, you know. We'd go over to the office, and we went out to eat and all that. I'd tell him, then he'd move his tie around, move his glasses, and put his hair back. He said, tell it to me again. And he did that all evening long. Well, I said, now, Brother Ralph, I have got to go. I got to get down to Bible college. And he said, well, tell it to me one more time. And I told it to him one more time. He fixed his tie, and he's like a baseball coach over on first base giving the signals, you know. And then he looked at me, and he said, well, Brother Andy, I'll tell you what to do. You pray about it and do whatever God tells you to. I got mad at him. I spent all in. I want an answer, man. But that was the best advice that I got, because I had to pray it through and wait it through, and it's God's will. Me and Donna got married. Amen. Amen. And she's glad for Brother Ralph's advice, too. Amen. So at any rate, preachers sometimes meaning well. They give you, it may not be the right answer. But the apostles, she still had darkness after she had talked to the preachers, the apostles. Well, they're gone. She's standing there. She's still got this dilemma. What in the world's going on around here? I'm yet in darkness. She said, I'm going to check it out. So she went back in her and she bent down, she looked in the tomb, and lo and behold, here are two angels. One of them sitting at the head and one at the foot where the body of Jesus had lain. And she stuck her head in there, and get this conversation now. Verse 11, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she seeth two angels in white, the one at the head, one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not. I'm still in darkness. I know not where they've laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back. How many of you ever seen angels? Huh? I hadn't. What would you think about sticking your head in the tomb and here's two angels in white, shining apparel, one on this side, one on that side, and they speak to you. Right. Woman, why are you weeping? What's going on here? She said, I'm not looking for angels. I'm looking for him. And she turned around and walked out. She had darkness in relationship to the principalities and to the angels. These were confident angels. They were sitting down. They wasn't sitting there plucking their feathers out and wringing their hands and said, oh, my, boy, we are in a mess. We're in a terrible mess. No, they knew exactly what happened because God sent them down from heaven to kick that stone away and scare the devil out of those keepers of the tomb. Confident angels. They were compassionate angels. Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? You know, she wasn't even startled by him. He had compassion on her. Why are you weeping? We're concerned about that. We don't understand. And the reason they didn't understand is they knew Jesus had just kicked the teeth out of death, hell, and the grave and rose from the dead. And they couldn't understand why she didn't understand. And I imagine angels looking at us sometimes say, what in the world's going on with this crowd? Do they not understand? After all God's done for them, the way the Lord's been there for them, the way the Lord's blessed them, and they're moping around, and they're sitting around in darkness, do they not understand what's going on? Compassionate angels. But she just turned away. I mean, angels are talking to her. They're wanting to have a conversation with her. She just, I'm looking for him. You know, most folk, they'd seen angels, they'd be writing songs about God sent an angel, or I saw an angel, or, oh, hallelujah, Peter and John, guess what happened after you boys left? Oh, the Lord sent me an angel, and now I'm happy and satisfied. Well, that wasn't what she needed. She wasn't looking for resurrected angels. She was looking for her Lord. Colossians chapter number 2 teaches us, it says, let no man beguile your reward of voluntary humiliation and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up with their fleshly mind. And he said, beware of that will worship and angel worship, and it all comes together.
Well, I got some help today. Praise God, preacher, I got some help. I went to the astrology page of the newspaper, and I read my sign, and I got a good sign now. I think it's going to be a good day now, preacher. Or I couldn't sleep, and I turned the TV on, and the psychic channel came on, and there's some woman there, and she just like she knew just exactly what I was going through, and oh, I got so much help. We got the Ouija board out and started asking it questions, and that thing moved around, and boy, I'll tell you what, I think I know exactly what to do now. Yeah, keep fooling with that junk. Now, you're going to pick up a spirit, but it won't be God's spirit. You get you a dandy of a spirit, all right, but it won't be God's Holy Ghost. Now, you're going to get in a real mess fooling with all this stuff, these spirits and all these soothsayers and all this stuff outside the bounds of the Bible. You're going to pick up some stuff that's going to hinder you and going to hurt you. The Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be a god, in 1 John 4:1. Saul got backslid on God. He ran down there to the witch of Endor, tried to get some direction and all that from her. The Bible talks about wizards and murderers and peepers and all the rest of that crowd. She said, that's not where I'm looking. That's not what I need.
But then thirdly, look at her darkness in relationship to the Almighty. Look at the conversation they had starting in verse 14. She turned herself back, the garden tombs behind her, and she's looking into the garden now. And the way that garden is, the sun's rising in the east and it's pouring in her eyes. And so she's sort of blinded by the sun there. And the Bible says in verse 14, when she turned herself back, that she saw Jesus standing and knew not. There's that phrase, knew not again, that it was Jesus. Sometimes he's a whole lot closer than you can ever imagine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she supposed him to be the gardener. Now, get this, if he had have been the gardener, and she turned around and she looked at it, get this conversation. She said, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. Suppose he had been the gardener. How would he even know who she's talking about? Walk out here and find a groundkeeper somewhere and say, if you've taken him, what have you done with him? Where's he at? He who? He who? I like what old John Gill said, Mary Magdalene at Christ's sepulcher, when Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Supposing her to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him. Suppose he had been the gardener, how should he have known who this him was that she meant? And what it was, she was so absorbed with the Lord, there wasn't but one him in all the world. And I got to get a message. There's one brewing in me about him in the Gospel of John. Him. And now she's turning around and saying, have you seen him? Amen. Go down here to the gas station, pay for your fuel and say, oh, you ought to have been there. He was there today. Amen. He who? You have special preacher? No. Oh, he? Oh, that special singer? No. Who are you talking about? He was there. What he you talking about? There ain't but one he in the whole world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Her heart was so embracing him and so wrapped up with him, there was but one him in her life. Hallelujah. Back over in the Song of Solomon, the same thing happened to this old gal that had lost her beloved. And now the daughters of Jerusalem said, who are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for my beloved. Well, who is your beloved? And what's the big deal about him? Won't you just go get you another fella? And boy, she puffs up on him. And she says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water. His cheeks are as beds of spices. His hands are as gold ring. His legs are as pillar of marble. His countenance is Lebanon. His mouth is most sweet. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. It was a him. Hallelujah. Wasn't but one in the whole world. And she said, that's who I need, him. Then business picks up. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus said one word to her in verse 15 that blew her darkness out the door and shined the light of God upon her soul. Woo! The Bible said Jesus said unto her, Mary. And when he said Mary, that little sheep perked her ears up. Hallelujah. Because he had called her by name before. My sheep, they know my voice. And I call them by name. And one word from him, the calling of her name, dissolved all the darkness and all the fear. He didn't have to write down a theological discourse on the resurrection and how it all happened and the prophecies that proved it. He just showed up and called her by name. And when he showed up and whispered her name, glory to God, all her darkness disappeared. And flowing out of her heart, she said, Rabboni, which means my very own master. You're who I'm looking for. Yes, yes. You're who I want. You're who I need. Amen. Amen. Boy, we chase so many vain imaginations. Oh, if I just had a new car, it'll scratch up and ping and blow out, and you'll wear it out. Oh, if I just had a bigger house, termites will get to it too. Oh, if I just had. That's not what you need. It's not what I need. I need Jesus. And boy, when you're enthralled with Him and it becomes a Him in your life, then all this other darkness just, it's gone. Because you walk in the light of the countenance of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you really don't care. You get where you just really don't care. I mean, things don't matter to you anymore.
That's right.
Popularity, fooey on it.
Yeah.
Everything else is just nothing. Amen. You say, well, you're a fanatic. Oh, my. I'm a hymnatic.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, Lord. That's why Paul said for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Not for me to live is preach. Not for me to live is to have Demas at my side. He hightailed it out of there. Not for me to live is to have cleft low dollars, big mansion and all that. Not for me to live is to have the Roman government turn around and be a follower of Christ too. No, for me to live is Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. I'll tell you, we get in darkness when we get our eyes on anything else. I don't care if it's something bad, if it's something good, or if it's something ugly, or something pretty. You just get your eyes off on all that and get to thinking, this will be the source of my satisfaction. And you'll drop right into a pit of darkness. Amen. Mary, Rabboni! And he said, now touch me not. I've got some work to do. I need to ascend, sprinkle my blood on the mercy seat altar. I'll be back, though. Glory to God. And he did. He came back and he said, Thomas, come here. Take your hand, run it in my side, put your fingers in the print of the nails of my hand. I've done my work over there. I'm ready now. Come on, touch me. Little Mary went running back up to the preachers and said, I got it, I got it, I got it. I got my answer. What's the answer? What's the answer? He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he's my Rabboni.
Yeah.
I've often envied Elisha that got to follow Elijah around. Often envied old Joshua that got to follow Moses around. I like to be in old Timothy's back pocket that got to follow Paul around. But you know, those fellows, they went on. But thank God Jesus is my very own master. And from day to day, he continues mastering me. And he's real and does his work. And those guys don't have anything on me, praise God, because my master is with me all the time.
Amen.
The Lord said, Mary, that's what I'm looking for. Praise God, the light of God broke on her soul. She became the first one to say, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And from thenceforth, the gospel has been preached for 2,000 years. And you know what? Rabboni will be your very own personal master. I don't know the dilemma you'll face tomorrow. I don't know the situation you'll get into. I don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Everything is going fine in Job's life, and there fell a day, and he buried 10 kids in one day. There fell a day, lost all of his businesses in one day. There fell a day from being a healthy, strong man to having to sit in an ash pile, scraping sores with a piece of broke pottery. Friends turned on him. Looked like God wouldn't hear him. There fell a day. I don't know what the day will fall upon you and me, but I know this. His name's Rabboni. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And the reason he knew he lived, because he was with him all the way through. And he came and brought him out of that trial and gave him just exactly what he needed in the hour that he needed it. And man, let's not get our eyes on anybody but him, him, him. I need him. And when he speaks, the darkness will flee away. And don't be satisfied with substituting anybody. If it's angels, if it's preachers, if it's your husband, if it's your wife, if it's your church, Don't substitute anything or anybody for the personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The master's ministry of mastering men. Let's all stand.